All right. Genesis chapter 49. Please look into your Bibles. Don't admire my face. I know how handsome I am, all right? Look into your Bibles. That's more beautiful than anybody this time. From verse 1, it said, "Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, 'Assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come.'" In verse 2, it says, "Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, let's just start with you. You are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. But this is something about your life, verse 4. You are uncontrolled as water. You shall not have preeminence. This is a manifestation of your character as water, and you're being uncontrolled." He said, "You went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. You went up to my couch." Now go to verse 5. It says, "Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel." That is, I will not agree what they are doing. "Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and their self-will they lamed oxen." Please, if you have New Living Translation or the Good News Bible, today's English version, it said, they lamed oxen for sport. That is, just because they are happy. They just want to do something. All right? They go ahead and cripple animals. It said, "Cursed is their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Please, I want you to notice verse 5. He said, Simon and Levi are brothers. Are they brothers with Reuben? True. Are they brothers with Judah? Yes, they are. But why did he call them brothers? Because they tend to gather together and be in agreement. Do you get my point? You know, in a family, you have siblings that are closer than other siblings. So Simon and Levi are friends. Let me put it like that. He said, "But I'm going to separate them. I am going to scatter them. I'm going to scatter their descendants." Please bear that in mind. Now, it spoke about Judah in verse 8. I will not speak much about Judah. And then it spoke about Zebulun in verse 13. Please, let's jump to verse 14. Because these four people, Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Issachar, they are the ones that what their father said about them is very instructive for us at this season. He said, "Issachar is a strong donkey." If you have a goodness Bible, it says no better than an ass. All right? He said, "Lying down between the sheepfolds, when he saw that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulders, the shoulder to bear burdens, and became a slave at forced labor." That's what he said concerning Issachar. And he said many other things about the rest of his sons. But I just want to read this one because these ones will help me explain what I want to teach us this afternoon. Like I said, I'm talking about character of destiny, the character of destiny. I deliberately chose that title, all right? Instead of saying character and destiny or anything like that, I want to highlight some important issues. Now, I'm not describing the character that destiny has. I am talking about the character that produces the correct destiny. Are you getting my point? I'm not trying to describe the character of your destiny, but I'm describing the kind of character you will have that will produce a certain kind of destiny for you. I hope that is clear. All right. Now, let me explain the number of principles. Before I explain the principle, let me just make a statement. When I was doing my NYSC then, when orientation camp in Wukari, first set of coppers I went to Taraba State. It was a newly created state that time. That was 1992, I think, yes. End of 92. I was among the first set of coppers that went to Taraba State. And I don't know what they do now, but those days, every morning, there's these meditations we used to have. Do they still have it these days? All right. So the man who was talking that day spoke about chastity. I remember very well. He said many things, but what I never forgot was what he said about, he was quoting Pythagoras, the Greek philosopher. Pythagoras said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, they determine your destiny. I never forgot it. This was 1992. This is how many years after? All right? I heard that man say those things. So he was quoting Pythagoras. And that's very, very in tune with scripture. All right? And one thing my pastor in Lagos used to say those days, he would say, when an old man meditates and he looks at life, he discovers the word of God. That is, if you look at life and see the way things are working, all right, that you will discover the word of God. That is, the word that made this creation. Just by observing the creation, after a while, you will discover the way God ordered it to be. And when you speak words based on experience, you'll be saying things that are in tune with God's order. So when Pythagoras said that, obviously it was a man who had meditated, and he discovered and explained the word of God. All right, so I was reading this scripture. I've read it before. I've preached from it here and there. But today I just feel like bringing this thing to us again because it help us in today's Christianity. Is that all right? Now, a few points I want to make. There are a number of things that determine your destiny or they try to determine your destiny or that God put in place that working together, they will produce an outcome in your life. The first and most, well, let me use the word most important. The first one that meets you as you are born is where you are coming from. What I mean is this. Who's your father? Are you getting my point? Yes, it's important. Does your father have a covenant with God? For example, when Isaac was born, he was born into a covenant. Are you following what I'm explaining? So that determines a direction for his life. Please, bear that in mind. Where you're coming from has a way of setting you in a particular direction. I wrote a tract many years ago. It's one of our tracts still out there, Predestination, in which I tried to explain the principle of destiny. Is it that whatever we be, we be. There's nothing you can do about it. All right? What's going to be is going to be. What goes up must come down. What is going to be is going to be, and there is nothing you can do about it. Is that what life is about? I heard a woman say once that even when I'm beating my children, I said, I know it's because destiny said I must beat my children. So I am beating them. I have no control. I don't have time to explain it, but that is not true. If you had no control, God would not be just in judging you for your actions. If you had no control, God wouldn't be just in sending you into damnation for doing that which is wrong. And he will have no reason to bless you for doing that which is right. Are you getting my point? That is when you have no control. But when you do have control, all right, that is when he will tell you that it would have been better if this man was not born because of the punishment he will experience for what he's going to do. Even though God knew what the man was going to do, he didn't say the man didn't have any control. I hope you are following my point. The first thing, of course, that sets in a particular direction in life, all right, like I said, is where you're coming from. But I don't think that is most important. That just sets a platform for you. You can go against it. You can go in that direction. We'll start with Reuben. Now, before we talk about Reuben, one of my favorite scriptures is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul said, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said, we have promises. The promises, what do they do for us? They give us, number one, that's where what God wants us to experience. But the knowledge of those promises give us vision and they help us direct our lives towards the fulfillment of those promises. Now, listen to me, not towards the practical actualizing the promises by our strength, but towards putting ourselves in a place where God can do what he wants to do. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? The difference between Christians and the world is that we labor in a fashion that is different from the way the world labors. I always say, after David was anointed king, you know what he did? He went back to where they called him from. Are you getting my point? He was there tending sheep. They said, you are wanted. So he went home. And as soon as he appeared, the prophet said, this is the man. He poured oil upon him and said, God has anointed you king in Israel. After that, he said, thank you very much. He returned back to being king of the sheep. Are you getting my point? He did not try to join PDP. What a lot of us would have done, let's assume we're teaching in a university or a secondary school, a primary school. The moment you hear you are anointed president in Nigeria, first thing you resign the job and go and join PDP. Let me say this to you. Many people have aborted destiny in life because they deliberately took the wrong steps while trying to actualize those destinies. But they did that which was wrong, and you never read their stories. When you hear of people in the Bible, all right, don't think that Abraham was the only person God called. I am not sure. I'm not saying it happened. But it's possible there were other Abrahams he called and they did not answer. Or they answered, they got halfway. The king in Egypt, Pharaoh, gave them a lot of goods and everything because of their wives. They abandoned their wives, settled down in prosperity, and you never read their story. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, I always say, God wouldn't give you a choice of two if there was no possibility of choosing the wrong one. Please, where you are coming from is very important. But more important than where you are coming from, okay, I said we should look at the life of, what's his name, Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Firstborn is supposed to be an important thing. Look at Israel. Look at it. God, the commandment he gave them, usually you hand over the kingdom to the firstborn. Are you getting my point? That's the way it was. But except that you find out that the firstborns did not always get it. I need to say this. God's plan is God's plan. It does not always get fulfilled in individual lives. I don't know whether I get my point. You didn't get me. Let me say it again. God has a plan about your life. There's no guarantee to be fulfilled. The only plan that is guaranteed to be fulfilled is the plan he has for the whole earth. As it affects individual lives, there's no guarantee. God is not a joker. If he calls a man, he's hoping the man will respond. Many men don't respond, and they die in iniquity and obscurity, and it's not God's fault. Please, what I'm saying is very important. I'm trying to build up something here. Reuben was the firstborn. All right? Solomon was not David's firstborn. God always has a reason, always has an order he follows when he's doing things. Always he has an order. He doesn't close his eyes and just do tumbum, 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 whichever one his hand falls upon. That is the chosen one. He does not. No, he doesn't do that. When he jumped Absalom, jumped all the other, what are their names? In fact, their names I even had to remember. The sons before Solomon. There was Amnon. There was Absalom. There was another one that declared himself king. Adonijah, thank you. All right? When he jumped all those people, it wasn't because he just wanted to jump them because he didn't like the look of their faces. Absalom is too handsome. Why should I use him? No. It is because they were not usable. Let me tell you about spiritual order. I've said this before, but I just want to say it again to help those of us who didn't hear me when I said it first time, hear it again. When the prophet Samuel got to the house of David, Jesse, he made these people pass in front of him. Who sent him? God. Did God not know who he sent him to go and anoint? And he told him, I have found for myself a king who will do all my desires in the house of Jesse. Go to the house of Jesus and go and anoint for me a king. So why did he now waste time? Saul and Samuel sat down there. Eliab passed by. And Samuel was saying, this is surely the anointed. And God said, I have not chosen this one. Then Abinadab came by. I have not chosen this one. Then this Shammai or whatever came by. I have not chosen this one. You ask yourself, why was he wasting time? Why didn't he just say, all right, give me the stick. Not this one, 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 not this one. They are not here. Call the last person. Why waste time? This is what I believe. God was teaching us a lesson. These things were recorded for our learning. You know what God was saying? See the way you sat down and they are passing in front of you? That was how I started from Reuben. I went from through every family. Look through every male in Israel until I came down to Judah. I hope you are getting my point. He went through all the tribes before Judah. I know what I'm saying. And when he went into Judah, he went from the first families until he got to the family of Jesse. And then he went through his sons the way he went through all the other sons until he finally got to David. God always follows order. If he found a suitable man before David, David would have had to wait. Catherine Kuhlman used to say something, that she's persuaded that she was not God's first choice for the ministry she had. In fact, her persuasion, she might be right, she might be wrong, but there is a lesson there. That her first choice, that she believed that God's first choice was a man. And the man refused to do the thing that was necessary. And then God chose him. I need to explain that. God always checks before he fits people into offices. God went through the whole of Israel And then he found the character he was looking for in David before he established David as a king. Please, if you've not been around, I'd like you to join us. We are still doing a lot of teaching, then we'll do a lot of praying on Tuesdays on what I call the hundredfold blessing. This message is actually, it's good to be part of it. Just that there's a reason why I want to teach it on Saturday. All right? Now, this is the point. There are characters that fit certain places. No matter what, where you were born, and let's talk, we are talking to believers now, because where you were born naturally, once you gave your life to Christ, it doesn't matter anymore. Do you understand my point? Where you came from naturally, the moment you gave your life to Christ, it stopped having meaning. It's the fact, what now matters is the fact that God has a plan for your life. Now, though you have a good destiny with God, though God has a plan for your life, are you getting my point? There's no guarantee that it will come to pass. That's why Paul said, listen to this, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Which means that if we don't cleanse ourselves and we do not perfect holiness, the promises will never come to pass. Let's go back to Reuben. Having explained that, Reuben is my firstborn, he said, my might and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. That's what your childhood indicated. That was God's plan for Reuben. He said, but there's a character problem with Reuben. He's as uncontrolled as water. He goes anywhere, there's an opening. He doesn't understand that men are supposed to look for purpose in life. Are you getting my point? You don't go for everywhere things are easy. Any door that opens is your door. No, it's not every open door that's your door. That's Reuben. Uncontrolled as water. He said, because of this, even though your background, your destiny determined preeminence in power, preeminence in dignity, he said, but you shall not have preeminence. Why? Because your character cannot handle preeminence. Therefore, the man pronounced, that's the next thing, prophecies. Therefore, the man Jacob pronounced and said, you will not have preeminence. Listen, prophetic words always unite with correct character to have manifestation. Listen to what I'm saying. That is, even though a man's destiny is determined in a particular direction according to the will of God, if the man has a wrong character, it will never manifest. And no matter how powerful a prophet is, he can't just by words change the man's destiny if the man's character is not in place so as to be able to operate in that destiny. What am I saying? Listen to this. Prophets don't just change things when it comes to people's lives. They only express that which the spiritual events, all right, are determining. What am I saying? Babylon didn't come down just because Jeremiah prophesied. Jeremiah prophesied because Babylon was going to come down. And Babylon was going to come down because they had done things that God said, for this reason I must judge them. So the determined plan of God according to human behavior, all right, was what was prophesied about. Therefore, the prophecy on the earth united with what was going on at that time in the realm of the spirit, and Babylon came down. What am I saying? This man, Jacob, was not just prophesying because he wanted to. Listen to me, I said something before, that when God cursed Adam, it wasn't out of anger. It was an explanation. Like, you know, we look at it like this. Adam, yeah, I can't believe you did this to me. You stabbed me in the back. Adam, you go hear him. You will hear it all. So what am I going to do? I'm going to punish you. So Adam, sit down. You know what's going on? Cursed is the earth because of you. This earth, I won't let, if he wants to produce, I will hold it back. No, that was not what God did. God said, Adam, this is bad. Something terrible has happened. Adam said, what happened? He said, because of this thing that you have done, cursed is the earth because of you. That is, this kind of character does not unite with productivity in the earth. So, the earth will not yield forth its increase for you. The way you are going to eat now, you have to labor. Because you see, I had placed you in a place where my words would just produce fruit for you in life. But you had gone into a place where you have to strive and labor to get anything. Oh, Adam, I'm very sorry. I'll plan a redemption, don't worry. But you have to suffer for a long time before that redemption will come. Are you getting my point? It wasn't out of anger. He was just explaining. In the same manner, Jacob was not angry. He was prophesying according to what the character of Reuben could carry. I've said it to you again and again. Let me say it again. One of the characters of a false prophet is a man who prophesies upon you, who sees visions according to the, let me put it like this, who sees the visions to solve your problems by blaming it on somebody else, who's blaming it on the environment, who's blamed on one witch or one wizard, and who does not make a demand on your personal righteousness. That's a false prophet. Is that deliberately false because you are paying him, or is ignorantly false? They told him that's ministry. God said, you have healed the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly by saying peace, peace, when indeed there is no peace. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Reuben, your background shows you should go far in life. Let's come to other things. You have the correct intellect. Your head is correct. You know book well, like we say. You went to university, studied a very professional of all professional courses, the most professional of them, and you came out with the best grades, first class. Preeminent in wisdom, preeminent in brain, preeminent in IQ. But you will not have preeminence. Why? Because you are as uncontrolled as water. Listen to me. No matter how what God plans for somebody's life, I think that's a major problem we have today in Christianity. People don't emphasize character development. We think it's just about prophesying. It's just about declaring. It's just about giving a special offering to get a special harvest. That's what we think it's all about. We don't understand that God is not stupid. You think he likes his grace? Not like God is grace. He sees an irresponsible child. That's the person he will give all his inheritance to carry. I don't know where you're getting my point. If you were God, will you do that? You have 2,500 children. Because one can make a lot of noise. He's a useless boy, but let's make him king. No, God doesn't do that. Please, let's continue reading. He said, Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. We read that. He said, when they are making sport, the lame oxen, that's in verse 6. I'm referring to New Living Translation or Good News Bible there. He said, cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. And their wrath, for it is cruel. He said, I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Another example of character flaws that does not allow men become established. When they are playing, they injure things that are precious to other people. You know, I always tell people, you know, if you see a man who's a bus driver, one day a bus driver jammed, you know, I have learned to judge people's destinies like this. One day I was driving, one bus driver just said he wanted to enter, you know, enter. You know what I mean? Just so the guy decided to enter. He knew he would jam me. So of course he jammed my car. So I stopped and we came down. And he was in there, instead of me to even give him space small. And I looked at him. There are different ways to handle matters. One of the ways was that I told him myself, I'm a salaried man where I work. Whether I'm there or not for the next 2 hours, my salary will come at the end of the month. You, every hour is counting. There are some wicked ways to punish people. I'll just stay there, we'll be talking. I'll call police, we'll be talking. What you don't understand, what I'm doing, I'm punishing you. Your passengers will disperse. But my salary is running. I will call my office and explain. Please, oh, one year man jammed me. And my salary keeps counting. They won't deduct a naira. But you, your shifts will soon be over. Somebody else will take over the bus. But after a while, I looked at him. The damage on my back was not serious. But I thought to myself, for this amount of disrespect to other people's property, this guy can't be rich in life. Mike Murdock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. One day, one rough driver, this time when I was driving a brand new car, brushed my car, mine being an old one. Now, you know what? I came home almost crying. Do you know why? He was at fault. Most certainly. But I felt that I should have just slowed down for him and allowed his foolishness to go away because the car was new and it was not his own. It was a driver, the man that was sitting at the back. Now, what I'm going to say is that it pained me because, not because I was wrong, I wasn't. But how can I, with this my old vehicle, jam a new vehicle like this? And I was feeling very terrible. If I tell this to make you laugh, I actually bowed down my head and I asked God for forgiveness. Because he said, but you were not wrong. And that's when you are using traffic law. But moral law, God vexed for me, I know. Because I was stubborn and said, this is my way. They said, here lies John Smith, who died maintaining his right of way. He was right, dead right as he sped along the expressway. But he's just as dead as if he were wrong. What I mean is that I was right, but I injured somebody's car. It was not good. I could have avoided that. All I needed to do was stop and wait for the man to pass. And I say, look at your wahala. You know, I go vex my soul. I mean, that's something. Mike Mundock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. There's what I call a cult of poverty. Don't ever join people who just get and say, look at those rich people. What are they doing with the car? What are they doing with the houses? Look at them. You are telling yourself, Lord, this is my level in life. I must not rise beyond it. That I might continue to criticize those who have things I do not have. This is my plan in life there, Lord. Keep me small, that they might remain big in their foolishness. In my holiness, make me small for life. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo said those days. He said, I believe in good things because good things are good. The fact that a murderer is driving a nice car doesn't mean I won't drive a nice car. It is not because of murder that he got a good car. A good car was made before he began to kill people. Don't sit down there and say, well, these rich people, they are not happy. Believe me, they are more happy rich men than they are happy poor people. That's a matter of fact. If landlord is not breathing down your neck, you have more chances of studying the scriptures very well and generating the word of God into joy and fulfillment. I'm telling you the truth. So don't just join anybody. Don't forget. Mike Mundock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. You want a great destiny when you see men who have reached there. All right? Respect them. Sometimes I see a lot of young people, you know. a young boy, he's selling something. Inside a hot sun. Age-wise, I'm double his age. So education-wise, don't even compare. And as for money-wise, after one whole day of sweating, I end that job, that money in 30 minutes. Yet, you don't buy something from him, he insults you. I feel bad. You see, get my point. I feel bad. Not about me, but about him. Like this boy, except God works a miracle, you won't go far in life. There's one girl that begs at that junction. Except God works a miracle, her children will beg. My wife knows what I'm talking about. You don't give to her, she abuses you. And this is, she had grown from childhood into teenage begging. It's not her fault because, you see, Reuben was preeminent. Some people are down, all right, because of their history. But when they develop the right character, God turns things around for them. So one Jacob, we say, this small girl, all right, he said, you are low in eminence. Nobody knows what is the opposite of preeminent. Back eminent. Is that okay? He said, but because you are as focused as an arrow. Are you getting my point? I'm turning it around. You will go far and you will have preeminence. Even though amongst your brethren, you are the smallest of them all. Paul said, even though I was the least of the apostles, but I labored more than them all. I'm talking about character of destiny. Simon and Levi, God spoke about them. And when I say God spoke, he said, did God utter a word? Listen, there are different ways God speaks. I told them, my pastor said that an old man will discover the word of God. I may be wrong, but I am not so certain that in all these places, Jacob was speaking by what you and I would call inspiration. We say, wait. Put my hand. And the Lord began to speak to me right now that Issachar, no, he just has observed, Jacob was 140 something years old at this time. He had watched Issachar for the last 50 years. He said, this boy, he can never be anything but a slave in his life. God doesn't need to talk to me specially. I have observed him for 50 years. Anywhere it looks like there's small money flowing, you will find him there. He said he will bend his back to bear the burden and he will become a slave at first labor. Take a message to all your friends that change jobs every time salary are just small, that will never own anything in life. They will be employees all their lives. There are different kinds of forced labor. I keep on saying that there was a time when a white man came and used force to take us on sheep, what do you call it? or slave ships across the oceans. But now they don't need that anymore. All they need to do is display it. Highly skilled immigrant visa. All you need to do is be under 27 years, have a PhD, and currently be earning $500,000 a month in Nigeria. And you can come and work for us. Say, may God punish, that brown man, what is his name? No, the brown man. Gordon Brown. Tony Blair before him. And everybody who conspired to develop that visa scheme. How else on earth will you help to keep some people under? That is the only way. You open your doors to the best of their brains. But anyway, you see, God uses them for his own purposes. God, he said, God should punish them. Yes, he punished the Babylonians for plundering Israel beyond measure. You know what God told Babylon? He said, I'm going to finish all of you. He said, why? Because I sent you against my people. You didn't even show small mercy. Small mercy like this. The Bible said that, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, he said he did not do that of righteousness. Even though I was the one that sent him, he was a weapon of my wrath. He said, yes, he doesn't do that of righteousness. You know what that means? It means that he's not doing it because he's obeying me. He's using wickedness to do it. I am just taking advantage of his wickedness. So, let's leave the people who are doing wickedly. It is those of us who buy it. That's my problem. He said, Issachar is like a strong donkey. Lying down between the sheepfolds. He said, when he saw that the resting place was pleasant, was good, and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens and became a slave at forced labor. Anybody who jumps to places because of comfort, that's what they all, listen, there are different kinds of slaves. Even those days when they were slaves, they were, in America and Europe, all right, and those Caribbean islands. There were slaves that worked in the house, and they felt superior to the slaves outside, but they were slaves. You don't know that? There are different kinds of slaves. There were slaves that worked indoors, and they felt, in fact, read the book Against the Odds by John Johnson. So one day he went to go, and a white family invited his family for dinner. And when he sat down at table, food did not flow. You know why food did not flow? Because their black maid said she couldn't serve a black man. You didn't hear what I said? A black maid. A hired servant. Hired to cook and to serve in the house of a white rich man. Saw a black rich man who was a guest in the house of the white man. Apparently the first black guest this man is having over. And they said, come and serve. He said, I cannot serve a black man. Did you hear what I said? The white man fired her on the spot. There and then. Said, thank you very much. You serve my guest. I don't care what their color, the color of their skin is. Fire the woman there. Look, they had them abroad. Slaves who worked in the homes. Who felt superior to the slaves outside. But they were still what? Slaves. A lot of people would do Baba careful. You know what they are? Slaves. Let me not start giving names of people that you know. They can earn $100 million. They are what? Slaves. Some of them are jesters. You know what I mean? Go and make the white man laugh. They are what? Slaves. So that's what happens to Issachar. He always becomes a slave. And one of the ways you know a man who is a slave is that he can't pass an inheritance to his children. Because the master can take his sons and sell them at will. Listen, when Jacob was leaving the house of Laban, you know what he said to Laban? I want to go and provide, listen, an inheritance for my own family. Laban said, don't worry. Why are you going away? Listen, because the first 7 years, Jacob worked as a slave. Because the wife was pleasant. The second 7 years, he worked as a slave because he didn't get the pleasant wife, so he worked extra to not get the proper wife. The next 6 years, when he wanted to leave, Laban said, where are you going? Here you have food. You have everything. Why are you bothering to go? And the man said, I have to provide for my own household. So the man said, okay, appoint me your wages. They now discussed money. After a while, Jacob said, I have to go. Why? I have an inheritance. I hope you are getting my point. Men who can give to their offspring and pass wealth and influence and great things to their descendants, all right? Sometimes they actually live where it is comfortable to go and start struggling again. I don't know how you're getting arrested. The devil is not a goat. He has sense. Why temptations are called temptations is because they are tempting. If they are not tempting, they would not have been called temptations. That is, listen, if every time you want to step out of something else, it's always easy. You're not following the will of God. You are not. If it's always easy, you're not moving from one place to the other. You are not following the will of God. You are not. Because God knows any clown, any joker, any Issachar will do that. And God is not breeding slaves. You know what he's breeding? Free men. Free men. Men who are free to do the will of God in their lives. Free men. What have I explained from reading those scriptures? So we'll talk some more and then we'll close. God can have a good word, a good plan for anybody's life. If the character is not correct, he can't achieve it. I said before, there are two reasons believers walk. And it does not include working for money. The two reasons why we walk is so, number one, so we can be a blessing to other people. That's not what I want to discuss. But number two, so that while we are interacting with people, are you getting my point? We find out our character flaws. Are you getting me? And then we work on them with the word of God and with prayer. That's why when I wrote in that book I wrote How to Work for God, the first chapter of How to Work for God is on the first work that is inside. I said there's no need walking outwardly because God, these are spiritual laws. No matter how much your inheritance, what I mean is that what God poured into you at the beginning, no matter how great it is, no matter how much it is, what life gave to you to succeed, preeminent in power, preeminent in dignity, if you are as uncontrolled as water, you will not have that preeminence in your life. Every little thing in life, I'm telling you, is a test. This interesting part, many of the tests you fail daily, listen to this, you will not know you failed them until you come to places like this. And we'll discuss and tell you, if this happens, you have failed. You discover that last year, Olodo, I failed everything. The last few months, I've been failing all the tests because I've been making decisions that show that I'm not going to go far in life. I said to you, that's on Tuesday, that John said, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. If truth enters, it illuminates and shows you where you have not done correctly. If you brag like Job, that I've always done rightly, what it means is that you're walking in darkness. So the amount of light you have illuminates the little space around you, and you think you have occupied all the space. But when the light of God shines further, which was what God did through Elihu and in dreams and in visions for Job, you suddenly realize the places, the character flaws that you have not yet overcome. And then you repent in dust and in ashes. And you say to God, before I heard of you with the hearing of my ears, now I'm getting a better perspective of you. Listen, very important. The degree to which your life experiences the destiny that God plotted for you, all right, is determined by the degree to which your character is rearranged to becoming exactly like that of Christ Jesus. Listen to me, it's not determined by how much you pray. Listen to this. It is not determined by how much you give. I said to you last time, you can see a preacher sweating like I sweat here twice a week. Eh? Don't let that one fool you to think that God will reward me plenty. Because the reason why I'm sweating, you don't know. You can't see that one. You can't see it inside my heart. It's covered by my physical heart, then all the flesh and bones around it, then the three layers of clothes I have on top of it, you can't see it. I'm the only one that knows what is driving me. But as I go around, God look, he opens my hands. This is why you are shouting. You want to be popular. This is why you are shouting. You want the whole world to know you. They think you are shouting because, look, and no matter the reason why you are shouting, when you start shouting, if you are anointed to shout, the shout will bless people. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So that's why you look at it and say, this man is so heavily anointed. How come he did not go far in life? God said, the character I'm looking for, he didn't have it. Anytime you see him in a small, enclosed, you know, life, not going beyond the level year after year, God said, it's not because he's not anointed. I called him, I anointed him. But the character I determined that I require for him to get to the place where I want him to get to, he has not developed it. I said something to us last time on Tuesday when we were preaching about 100-fold blessing. I said, that's number one job that prayer is for. Of course, prayer is not against enemies. All my enemies, some are salt and scatter. Don't let me say things, all right? Let me just leave some things alone. One day, one of my friends looked at one church and said, man, these guys are doing wonderfully. The church is growing. I said, if you lie to people the way they lie, you too, you will grow. People are looking for who to deceive them. Tell them it's not their problem. You're not the ones that are at fault. Use all your prayers against enemies and every form of witches are not even aware. You don't know to kill people is expensive. You don't have anything. Why should somebody kill you? You think the devil is an idiot? He knows you're not going to go far in life. The lie you tell, the lies you tell, the devil knows you won't go far. Why should he kill you? So that he will kill you now, God will be forced to replace you. And as long as you are there, God may not replace you for a while. So the devil enjoys it. Just be there occupying God's space with all your bad character. The church will not go far. What am I saying? Forget the enemies. You don't need the prayer chasing them up and down. Are you getting my point? What do we use our prayers for? We first turn our prayers where? Inside. We first turn our prayers inside. Are you getting my point? That's why I'm talking about character for destiny. I chose those four people. And I said something. That Jacob was not just sitting down and trying to get inspiration. I'm not saying he was not inspired. Possibly he was. But whether he was inspired or not is the same thing he would have arrived at. Because for years of understanding the dealings of God, he looked at his sons. And I'm going to say something after this. That's why you'll find out that people can come from a particular lineage. But what they experience as descendants of that lineage does not tally with what was prophesied about that lineage. Are you getting my point? You can have a son of Reuben becoming preeminent in power. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? That the curse is not working, it's working. But except you connect with the curse of your father through your actions, it can never alight upon you. If a man is born, listen to me, of Reuben, and Satan knows, look, listen, I told you, the devil is a tempter. If your father is a cheat, a crook, now, follow what I'm saying, no? All right? And a selfish person. The demons of selfishness, thievery, and crookedness will hang around your home. And you will grow up under the extreme influence of tempting devils to push you into these evils. The psychologists will give all kinds of names to it. But the point is that there are spiritual activities which the father opened the doors for. And he entered into that home. And the children started growing under it. So if your father is a mafia don, you will shoot people. I don't know whether I get my point. You will shoot people. You will shoot people. It will be your normal way of setting scores. So that man was, he showed me a lot of disrespect. So we're going to teach him a lesson. And you are in secondary school. Yeah, because your father is a killer. But like I discussed in that book, choice is key to destiny. What God now does that one day he will open a door for you. He will show you the other way by which men can walk. By which men can compete. By which men can deal with other people. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will let you know that this is the path of life. This is what I'm saying. If we're able to resist the temptations that brought a particular character trait into the lives of our ancestors, are you getting what I'm saying? And therefore, we don't walk in their footsteps, the curses that they downloaded by their activities cannot come upon us. That's why I always say, once you believe in Christ Jesus, and you detach yourself from your natural lineage, and you attach yourself fully with the word, to the word of God, and that word, listen, that word begins to develop the trait, the Christ-like nature, all right, the spirit of Christ in you, the seed of which was put into you at the new birth. Listen to me, your life can never be average. I don't care where you came out of. I don't care who your father is, who your grandfather is, who your ancestors are, which village you came out of. It makes no difference. Once you attach yourself to the word of God, and this is what I'm preaching today, you allow that word to really release the trait of Christ that the seed was put into you at the new birth. You allow that word to really release it. Listen to me. You will enter into divine destiny. Why am I preaching this? What I'm preaching today? I don't want Christians to get the impression that you prophesy your way into prosperity. That you just give your way into prosperity. You just quote two scriptures and hold on to it into prosperity. No, it doesn't work like that. Those are the preeminent matters that we're born with. But there's an eternal principle that if we don't let those words build up a character in us, we can never get the thing that God wants us to get. Am I clear? Am I clear? I picked those few people. There are many other things written in that scripture. When I studied it, I realized that, look, most of the other people, Jacob didn't say much about them. The reason is because, the reason is because they did not do anything to work against the plan that God had for their positions in that family. I hope you're getting my point. Let me say this again. The fact that God has promised something, all right, is not all there is to our receiving them in fulfillment. I preached a message some time ago, which I called Poor Jonah, in which I talked about activating the prophecies by prayer. There was something I explained there, all right? If you can, listen to that message also. It will also add to what I have said. But the point I made very crucial in that message is the fact that God can say something, and it does not come to pass. It doesn't mean he's a liar. It only means that we have limited the Holy One of Israel. In that book of Jonah, it was the negative side or the opposite side that worked. God prophesied destruction by the mouth of Jonah, yet there was no destruction. The people did not experience any destruction. And what was the reason? Because the people did certain things that limited the hand of God when it came to punishing them. But the opposite is also true. There are times that God prophesies good about people. Listen, let me just say it like this. Believers, we must be known for our purity in character. Are you getting my point? Listen, I looked at Jacob. I read stories about his life. I read the Bible and I read analysis of his life. I like the way Oswald Chambers said it. Oswald Chambers said, all the problems that Jacob had in life, were they necessary for him to inherit the promise that God had upon his life? He said, no. Listen to this. That the promise is not tied to the suffering, but that in the life of Jacob, are you getting my point? The suffering is necessary for the fulfillment of the promise in the life of Jacob. Why? Because the character of Jacob had to be beaten and fought. And God said, I will not leave you alone until I have done everything that I plan to do for you. What it means is this. I won't leave you alone. That means I must always bless you. No. If you do what is wrong, I won't stop beating you until you convert yourself. If you know what I'm saying, say, until you repent. If you think you are sharp, I will deal with you in such a manner that you will discover that sharpness. You know, like by sharpness. Sharp, now Nigerian sharp, all right? For example, you know how to be crafty and deceive people, deceive your father and get. Listen, let me tell you something. I told you before, be careful about testimonies. Is that okay? It was forbidden that Jacob should go and prophesy. Go and testify. When he comes to church, praise the Lord. The Bible says the violent take it by force. When I heard that there was an inheritance that I was supposed to receive, and my brother, it looked like he was going to get it. Therefore, I and my mother connived. And we deceived my father. And then I got the inheritance. Brethren, if it is yours, whatever it will take it all. Are you getting my point? If you speak like that, this interesting part. Because of the prophesying of Jacob, all right, of Isaac, Jacob got the inheritance. Amen? But Jacob still suffered for the way he got it. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Rebecca still suffered for the way Jacob got it. That's God. You go the wrong way and you fulfill his purpose. You still suffer for going the wrong way. That's why I tell preachers. If I say I want to lie to you and use all kinds of urukuruku to collect money so I can preach the gospel, I will use that money to preach God to be preached, but I will still be punished for lying to you. Please, what I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. That's how God works. He checks the methods before he chooses the personal reward that you will get. People may come and testify that the work is still going forward. Yes, because the overall work is in line with the plan of God. But the individual reward is calculated according to the purity of heart with which they did what they were doing. If you use lying methods to get the inheritance like Jacob did, you will go to the house of Laban for 7 years labor for nothing. It is God saying, I won't leave you alone until I finish with you. By the time Jacob came back from Laban's house, he learned how not to deceive people. 7 years he walked, he didn't get anything. They gave him a girl he did not want. I wonder how he managed. So Leah knew that I am not loved. Even God knew Leah was not loved. Everybody understood that Leah was not loved. I wish it was these days. The man would just go to court and request the annulment of the marriage. But it couldn't work like that those days. Are you getting my point? The man had to work another 7 years to get the wife he wanted. After they started working to get, look, listen to me. That is the reward for one, his character, which manifested in how he got the inheritance. Now, listen to me. God is not happy with Esau. What I mean is that God won't say, because I'll give to Esau, because Esau didn't deserve it. But how Jacob got it is still not right. So God worked with Jacob until Jacob was humble. Listen to me, I told you, there are two ways to work with God. You can come for Bible study or buy a book and do other things and listen to the word of God and pray. And God will convert you through the operations of the Spirit, working with the word. Are you getting my point? Or you can wait for suffering to teach you a lesson. Whichever way you will learn. Do you hear what I said? Whichever way you will learn. When Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old are you? Jacob looked and said, my 130 years have been 130 years of sorrow. That yes, I have lived long. I have not even lived as long as my father. But my own days has been one calamity after another. One day I even met God on the road. He injured me. Why? Because all I asked was that he should bless me before he goes. Give me a kick, threw my hip out of order. Even my sons conspired against me to take away the son that I loved the most. Listen to me. Oswald Chambers said, was that necessary for the inheritance? He said, no, it wasn't. Except that for Jacob, it was. That is, if Jacob had not been like the Jacob that Jacob was, you would not have had that story to read, though. That's why I'm always guarded in my testimonies. There are things God does for me. And he did them because of my stubbornness, not because of my righteousness. When I'm praying, sometimes I ask God in one corner, my wife no good did. I say, God, I hope what I'm saying, I hope my requests are okay. hope my motive is right. Because I can't just go and say, hey, after I declared and said, God, this year you must do this thing. And God did it. And you are shouting, amen. I told you, if Solomon had asked God for money, God would have given him money. You know that. Would he not have given him money? So let's not shout too much about testimonies. I'm always guarded. So I began to declare. I declared and declared. I said, no, I will not change my mind. There are things God gave them commandment to divorce the wives of their youth because of stubbornness. Who told you he has stopped? But this is the interesting part. God gave it to you, and it was not what he wanted you to have in perfect order. You will suffer the consequences. The Bible said they lusted after meat. God gave them meat to satisfy their lust. But then, what happened? He sent leanness to their souls. Listen, I told you, this is my own estimate. I have, you know, I gave an estimate. 85% of Christian work is nonsense work. 85% that I've looked around. And that's a conservative estimate. I have another estimate for you. 90% of Christian prayers, God is angry. Brethren, tonight, we are going to tell God. And God will look and say, Gabriel, they have come again. After too much harassment, God will say, Gabriel, give that pastor 2 cars to, you know, give the congregation 2 cars so that the pastor will have a story to tell next time he goes to preach. I was somewhere last week. By the time I finished this ministration, 5 cars were released. God said, Gabriel, leave. They will grow. No, God will just be looking and say, hey, these people. The things that are important, they won't focus on it. Say, half of them are Jagudas. They have not focused on that. No, they call Jaguda. You know what they call Jaguda? And when Yoruba man says Jaguda, it's another word for thief. Rogue. Say, lying is their culture. They lie to one another. There was one pastor I heard of. The church he was a pastor in that church. He was under torment. Do you know why? Because his big pastor used to preach prosperity. And he had to live the life of prosperity to show that the world is working. So his car, the engine will be bad. He won't talk the engine. He will spray the body. So as he's driving, he will see this thing shining. Say, praise God, the God of Abundance. The God of Abundance. The truth is that the engine of the car. He said, when he leaves home like this, he's going to church. The level of agbada he used to wear, the kind of material, the landlord go, they look him. Like, this boy don't begin thief. Because his rent is not up to date. Look at the cloth he's wearing. This man himself, he's now based in Enugu here. I'm telling you the true story. Say, he has repented. That is the kind of repentance he has repented now. He doesn't follow those things again. He testified with his own mouth that they were just living a lie. Showing prosperity. The agbada, he has not paid for it, but he has to buy it. Because the pastor is prospering, he's prospering, everybody is prospering, supposedly prospering. Then one day God gathered and scattered the whole thing. God scattered it in a very sad way. But he was delivered. Now he has repented. He has thrown away all those cloaks of prosperity. Now any prosperity you see on him is real. Now any prosperity you see on that bros is real. If you see him wear his shirt, he can afford it. Now, he's still working in kind of ministry work, and he's really blessing himself and blessing a lot of people. But he has stopped living the lie. Are you getting my point? Listen, let's not rush into this quick gain thing. It's not necessary. I see people that God has something great predetermined concerning their lives. That day I sent a brother a text. He sent me a text about something and I replied him. I said, Mike, why are you saying this? But in my heart, I felt so strong. So I sent him a text. I said, one day, you will be president. It's a young man. He did something. He just sent me a text. As I wanted to reply, I said, hey, God bless you. No, in my heart, I said, no, tell this young man one day he's going to be president. That's the kind of thought that God has towards you. But listen to me. He can thank you from now till tomorrow. You can discover it from now till tomorrow. If God says to you, one day you'll be president, and you don't stop stealing, you will die, you will not be president. And somebody will say, God lied. God said, me, I don't lie. Paul warned him that now that I have told him he will be president, he should understand that there must be nothing wrong that anybody can trace to his character. What he should go and do is sit down and pray. Please come on Tuesday. You see what we are talking about, hundredfold blessing. That's what we are discussing. That there's what God wants you to do about your character, about your person. Because there's 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The difference between those different folds, all right, is the kind of heart that received the word. But this is the good side about it. There's conversion possible for any kind of heart. And that is what prayer is used for. Have you learned anything today?